The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Who is Jerome Ford? Well, he is about to be the most added player in CBS Sports Fantasy Leagues and really fantasy leagues everywhere. He's 23% rostered. Had a 69-yard run that was almost a touchdown last night, a fifth-round pick in 2022, and about to be a feature back, we think, we hope, for the Cleveland Browns. But it's hard for me to be super excited right now. It was really a bummer of a fantasy night last night. Not only did we have two kind of sloppy, defensive games, but of course Nick Chubb out for the season, a guy who's been a top 12 running back per game in full PPR and even better in the other formats in four straight seasons. But good morning, everybody. Let's get your waiver wire for week three here. Let's help you win your league and move forward. Injuries happen, unfortunately, but Jamie was I don't know, man. You want to reflect on this this Chubb situation? This really was such a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it really was. You know, I mean, anytime you see a guy like that, especially at this point in his career, you know, this could, I hope it's not career ending, but you know, you never know depending on the severity of what the damage is. But yeah, definitely out for the season. And, you know, we have now just a really frustrating start to the year. I mean, you know, you think about the first round running backs or borderline first round running backs that have already had to miss time when you have,
Barkley,
you know, Jonathan Taylor and Barkley and,
Eckler,
right. And you know, to extend it, Aaron Jones, J.K. Dobbins, now Jamal Williams and David Montgomery, you know, and so, but clearly Chubb's, you know, injury is the most devastating one. And in terms of Jerome Ford, you know, he probably, if he didn't run out of gas, he would have stayed on the drive and scored the touchdown in the third quarter. It went to Pierre Strong. But you mentioned it, you know, do they add somebody else? You know, do they have a reunion with Kareem Hunt? Do they bring in a Leonard Fournette? You know, Daryl Henderson's a guy that's been making the rounds of tryouts. You know, that would be, I think, a saving grace if it's somebody like that. But do they make the trade? Do they make a trade to go be aggressive and get a Jonathan Taylor or a Cam Akers? You know, so those are things you got to just keep an eye on as well. But I think if anything, you know, whenever you get injuries like this, and you see a guy in the same game perform the way that Jerome Ford did, 130 total yards, work in the passing game, find the end zone, you're going to feel better about, A, if you handcuff Chubb to have him already on your roster, or B, knowing that you're going to have to spend a significant amount of fab to go get him, and he should be able to at least start for you for as long as he remains a starter in Cleveland.
A super significant amount of fab on Jerome Ford. Jamie does a smart thing that I probably should have done in my commissioner leagues where I'm the commissioner, run waivers on Wednesday night instead of Tuesday night. Give the dust a little bit more time to settle. And I mean, we already know the injury with Chubb, but I would like to know a little bit more about what they plan to do in terms of depth, Dave. So, mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you guys for your top three priorities. I know number one is going to be Jerome Ford. But how much fab are you willing to spend on Jerome Ford?
I'm going to spend a lot. I think it depends on whether or not you play with casuals and it's a small league, or if you play with sharp managers and it's a big league. I play with a lot of sharp people. You guys are included in there. I think I'll go as high as 70% to get him, because I don't know how many guys like this are actually out there who we'd load up to go and get. A lot of these players, a lot of these handcuffed players that Jamie talked about, they're already rostered that we would go and spend north of 70% for. Now, if you're in one of those smaller leagues and there's casuals, it's 55%. You can go a little bit lower. I actually did a straw poll around our office here at CBS Sports HQ this morning. No one went higher than 45%.
What?
No, there were two people that went 15% because they're scared that the Browns are going to bring back Kareem Hunt, and that Kareem Hunt is going to magically turn into 2018 Kareem Hunt and just completely dominate and render Jerome Ford useless. The Browns have already told us over the last 6 months what they think of Kareem Hunt. I'd be surprised if they brought him back, to be completely honest with you. And Kevin Stefanski said that they've got the confidence in Jerome Ford moving forward. You know that he's fast. We know that he's a capable pass catcher. He's playing behind one of the best offensive lines in the league. I feel good about this. It's a risk because we could be wrong. We were wrong about Kenneth Gainwell last week. He was hurt, and we were making him a priority.
Wouldn't say we were wrong.
But eventually Gainwell will play. I think Jerome Ford is worth taking that risk on. And so my number is going to be 70%. I think you've got to unload the clip, so to speak.
Yeah, I came up with the same number on FFT and 5 last night. I want to throw out one more scenario to you guys. And we have to talk about other players. We will talk about Zach Moss, for example. We will talk about how much did you spend on Kareem Hunt. Maybe take a shot on that. We will talk about Josh Reynolds, et cetera, and quarterbacks. Here's a Twitter poll I did last night. It has almost 3,000 votes. How much of your original fab budget are you willing to spend on Jerome Ford? 90% or more, 70 to 89%, which is what Schaefer voted for, 50 to 69% or less than half. Less than half does have the most votes, but it's only 33%. So that means two thirds are willing to spend at least half of their original budget. I mean, 22% say they spend 90% or more. So that's pretty wild, Jamie. I think I was in this, I'd be in the probably the 70 to 89% range, but here's, you could tell me where you'd be in that, you know, where how much would you spend of your original budget on Ford? But my second question is, I was talking to a friend this morning and he said, how much should I spend on Ford? I just lost Chubb. How much should I spend on Ford? And he said, I'm thinking like $42 or something out of 100 original. And I said, no, you're going to need to go more like 70. And he said, well, I only have 61 left or something. I said, well, then you know what? I think I'd rather have no Ford and Fab than Ford and no Fab. I don't know that I want to have zero Fab left. So we need to talk about that angle of it too, is like, do you set yourself up for disaster? It is week three and you spend almost all or all of your Fab by week three, you know, but so that's a two-part question, Jamie. I'm sorry for rambling. How much would you spend on Ford? What's your answer? And then let's talk about that prospect of emptying your Fab this early in the season for someone.
Yeah, I think, you know, Dave sort of alluded to this. You have to know your league and you have to know your situation clearly, you know. So if you are in a league that is going to be very aggressive with free agent bids early in the season, then you probably should spend whatever you have left or close to what you have left, because you don't know how many of these guys are going to become available throughout the course of the season, you know. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, put anything out there jinxing players, but, you know, we have some handcuffs that are still out there for certain players that you might want to go get just in case these injuries do occur again. But this is a guy that's rostered. I think his roster percentage from the time I wrote it was 23%. Now it's up to 25%. So people that were able to make moves last night have already done so. But like your friend was alluding to, you know, we may get another scenario like this in week 5 or week 7 or week 10, you know, and I don't know if it'll be better, but it could be similar. And so if you don't need Jerome Ford, you're not going to spend that much to go get him. But if you do need him and you're 0-2, and this is the type of player that could save you for a few weeks, then what are you going to save your Fab for? So it just comes down to, you know, what your situation is. And so the way that I wrote it in the story was 50%, if not more, you know, so you got to be prepared to spend a lot of your Fab. You got to be prepared that this might be the player that could help you win several weeks. And if you can get a player that's going to help you win several weeks, forget about the season. Can he get you through the next month? And I think he can. You know, it's a tough matchup against Tennessee, but, you know, with, again, all the running backs that I told you that are potentially missing for week 3, he's top 15. I don't know where you ranked him, Dave, but he's top 15 for me. And if this was Nick Chubb, he would be top 10. But if this was any other matchup, he would probably be, in terms of Jerome Ford, top 10. Because, again, the scenario is that good based on how they run the ball, based on that they'll use him in the passing game. And if they are bringing in somebody, even if it's Kareem Hunt at this point, they're not bringing in somebody to start over him for this week. So for at least 1 week, you're getting a potential bell cow, and that's hard to overlook.
It is very hard to overlook. Now, you're thinking, I think if you look at the possible handcuffs out there, I don't know that it's going to get much better than this. There is a history of Nick Chubb missing time in 2020 and 2021. And in, I think there were six games total. We're talking about no splits really in the backfield. We're talking about either Kareem Hunt getting mostly all the work or Dearness Johnson. I think it may have been seven games. Dearness Johnson having two huge games. Remember that Thursday night game where both Hunt and Chubb were out. So they weren't really splitting it. I know people are worried about the Kareem Hunt thing, but Dave already talked about that.
It's not the Kareem Hunt thing for me. It's the Taylor Akers thing for me.
Okay.
You know, do they look at their team and say, okay, we're 1-1. We basically gave away a game last night because of turnovers. We lost our best player. And is this our window right now? Because we got I would say they have a championship caliber defense. You know, I don't know if they're the best in the league, but they're going to be in the upper half. And they paid their quarterback to be that type of guy. So does bringing in, I don't know. I mean, look, again, this could be season career ending for Nick Chubb. So do they bring in a Jonathan Taylor to sort of, that's the next guy? Do they go get a Cam Akers as a bridge, you know, until they figure out their answer or to help out Jerome Ford? You know, I think Kevin Stefanski, as Dave alluded to, they feel comfortable with him. They probably would have made a move to bring in somebody else already at this point if they weren't comfortable with him, knowing what the depth of this backfield looks like. So it probably does not speak to that they're going to add somebody of significance, but you just have to factor that in. You really just have to factor that in, that they could go any which way at this point, you know? So you would hope, as a Jerome Ford fantasy manager right now, or somebody that's going to get him first on waivers, most fab in your league, you know, that you're guaranteed to get him, that it is a Kareem Hunt, that it is a Leonard Fournette, that it is one of these retread guys. The worst case scenario, again, is they go out and make a trade for somebody. And look, they could call Jacksonville and say, hey, we'll take Dearness Johnson back. You know, and that's somebody that's familiar with their system. You know, they could do something like that too, which would be, I think, a little bit of a downgrade to Jerome Ford. But he's in such a great spot right now. It's the investment is going to pay off as long as he stays healthy. And again, nothing else of significance is brought in.
This team they traded so much for Watson, and they don't even have a first round pick in 2024. So I, you know, keep that in mind. They'd be giving up a lot, really, like to get Jonathan Taylor. I'm not saying they'd have to give up a first round pick, but they just don't have capital. Necessarily, like early round capital.
You know, again, taking a broad picture Cleveland view of this, you do what the Rams did, and you mortgage the future to try and compete now.
You could do that. I don't think they need to rush into it, though. The trade deadline isn't until after week 8. I'm sure the Colts are going to take offers on Taylor if Taylor's still getting offers at this point. They'll take him. They'll take offers all the way through week 4 before they have to take him off the PUP list. They could wait a week and see what they've got with Ford and Strong and then decide what direction to move in. And even if they miss out on Cam Akers in a trade, there's still going to be another running back somewhere else in the league. Someone as minor as Dearness Johnson, someone as huge as Jonathan Taylor, although I'd be shocked if they traded for Jonathan Taylor, because that means that they would have to pay Jonathan Taylor potentially. I think the Browns can wait a little bit, and I think they can see what they've got in Ford and Strong first.
All right. I have one more question about Jerome Ford. If you were going to make a short list of the worst run defenses to face for a fantasy running back, you'd put Tennessee, Baltimore, and San Francisco on that list. You probably put the Eagles on that list at this point now, but Tennessee, Baltimore, and San Francisco are the first three matchups for Jerome Ford. So welcome to the big leagues. Tennessee this week, then Baltimore, then a bye, and then San Francisco. So that sucks on paper. How should that factor into your... Like, I'm not even going to pretend for 1 second that he shouldn't be the number one waiver claim. That's an easy conversation. But how should that schedule factor into your fab decision for Jerome Ford?
It shouldn't, because, you're taking a long-term approach with this, that if he is the guy for Cleveland, that he'll still be productive in those matchups, not superstar in those matchups, because Nick Chubb would be a superstar in those matchups regardless, to whatever degree you want to rank him in that regard. I want to have the starting running back for the Browns on my team.
Playing devil's advocate here, let's say he's the starter for those three games. There's a bye mixed in there as well. And the Browns decide, you know what? He's not effective against these defenses. Let's go and get somebody else. And so by the time they get to week seven, it's the Colts and then the Seahawks and then the Cardinals. Those are the next three games after that murderer's row that Adam brought up. Will it still be Jerome Ford? Could he still be that guy? Now, again, I said I'm playing devil's advocate because I think as long as they don't make a significant move, it's going to be Jerome Ford. Right. That's why I'm not going higher than 70%. And it's also why I'm looking forward to talking about what's through the other door. Fantasy managers don't, if you lost Chubb, if you lost Dobbins and you're in real need for a running back, this isn't your only option for this week and moving forward. There's another way to go here.
Segue alert. All right. So other than Jerome Ford, who are your top priorities? Let's say top three priorities on the waiver wire this week. Dave, you can start.
Zach Moss is going to be number one after that. And he should be able to get you through at least two more weeks. And there is a path if the Colts trade Jonathan Taylor or if Jonathan Taylor plays hardball and sits out after being activated from the PUP list, which is a possibility, where Moss can be a starter for your fantasy team for the next. I didn't actually count the weeks, so I apologize. I can do it in a second. Let's call it 6 weeks. And so that's somebody who can get you by for the next several weeks, and you don't have to spend a ton of fab to get him. I would say 20%, 25% might be able to get Zach Moss. And that's a lot for a guy that might only give you 2 weeks, but I think that he's clearly the feature back in Indianapolis. After that, it's just more piecemeal running backs. Justice Hill is 41% available. He would be next up for me, especially if I needed a running back. And then that's when I would get into some other positions. Treylon Burks, Hunter Henry would come after that. I'm not interested in the Giants guys very much. I'm definitely not interested in Tony Jones. And then we can talk about other potential handcuff running backs.
What about Reynolds? Where does he factor in here?
He's up there. He's definitely up there. He's right in the top six.
Okay.
But the top three, if you're interested, all running backs, Ford, Moss, Justice Hill.
Okay. Jamie, how about you? Top three other than Ford?
It would be Moss, then Breida, then Justice Hill.
I brought this up last night, but it was actually Gary Brightwell who had more carries than Breida. There were two games last year that Barkley either missed or got hurt or barely played in the Eagles game, both Eagles games actually. And Brightwell had more carries, which just kind of made me feel like I don't really want anything to do with this, especially Thursday against San Francisco. I don't think we're going to feel comfortable there. Now, week four against Seattle might be a different story. Barkley could be back against the Dolphins in week five. I have a lot to say about that because Barkley, that looked like a bad ankle injury, and he's had two ankle injuries in his career, and he has struggled coming back from both of them. I mean, he was just not very good after returning from both of those ankle injuries. I don't know if one has anything to do with the other, but anyway, I mean, what do you think about that whole Gary Brightwell thing? Because I was originally just like, oh yeah, Breida, not a bad ad, like flexy, but that Brightwell thing from last year, I don't know if it carries over, no idea, but I want to get your thoughts on that.
It's definitely something to think about whenever you get these backup guys in there. You know, unless it's a one for one, you know, Ford stepping in for Chubb. And like I said, whenever you see that and you see the way that you perform, it just puts your mind at ease. Like, you shouldn't be aggressive really with any of these guys aside from Ford and Moss just because of what the situation is. I mean, Zach Moss paid 98% of the snaps. You know, that's crazy that how much they leaned on him in his first game back. So you have easy scenarios here. Like, Craig Reynolds, is it going to be him just stepping into Montgomery's role, or are they actually going to put more on Jahmyr Gibbs' plate? You know, is it going to be, you know, Tony Jones getting all the work against the Packers? So for 1 week, you might have a guy that could start for you because we know Green Bay's run defense has been really iffy. Mm-hmm. So that's something to keep in mind too. It could be Kendre Miller. It could be more Taysom Hill, you know, but he played 51% of the snaps last night against the Panthers and he scored two touchdowns. So in terms of Tony Jones, so, you know, it's 1 week versus 3 weeks versus long-term, you know, that's how you just have to sort of catch it. And I think for what you're looking at, just depends on what your team is and how much, again, fab you want to invest, you know. So if you don't need Jerome Ford, I can't imagine anybody wouldn't want to have him. But if you don't want to spend, like your friend, you know, the rest of your fab on him, you know, there are some guys that might be able to sort of get you through the next several weeks as you sort of navigate the rough waters of the running back position.
and you'll save a lot of fab doing it. You just won't have a guy who could potentially let you, you know, put your feet up and say, ah, I don't have to worry about this spot anymore. I've got Jerome Ford, which, you know, would have sounded silly a month ago, but there's a legit possibility. Jamie, you can disagree with me. There's a legit possibility he's an RB2 the rest of the season.
Who, Ford?
Yeah.
I think, I mean, I was talking about it with
a definite RB2 the rest of the season if he stays in this role.
Yeah, I was talking about it with Chris last night. You think about the running back situation right now. I think there's a legit possibility he's an RB1.
Yes.
I hate these first three games because it reminds me a little bit. It doesn't really because there's no competition right now. But if you remember the year like 4 or 5 years ago, Aaron Jones was suspended for the first two games and Jamal Williams had two really brutal matchups to start the year and he stunk and Aaron Jones came back from suspension and just, I feel like he just took over and I just hate these first three matchups, but there's no competition there. There's no comp. And we saw like Kyren Williams, not like he was so good against the 49ers, but he got every touch. He scored three touchdowns. So yeah, you go for it with four.
I think the other thing to keep in mind is, you know, you're going to get some situations where there might be some players dropped for Jerome Ford. One that comes to mind for me this week is Josh Kelly because he was bad against the Titans. And you may get Eckler's returning, and we just don't know. And it's a much better matchup for Kelly this week against Minnesota.
Right.
And if he's the guy there, you know, again, you're just trying to get from week to week. You know, so keep an eye on some of the players that are being dropped. You know, somebody, I got a few questions last night. Oh, I got my roster, my bench is tight. I'm going to drop Raheem Mostert for Jerome Ford. Yikes. And you should, if your bench is tight and your roster's tight.
Can't you trade him first, though?
Wow.
Couldn't you
try and trade him first? Your league should go pick up Raheem Mostert. You know, I mean, these 10, 18 leagues, you know, people have some tough calls to make. You know, you're going to get people. I got, you know, a few of these last night, I think, as the game was unfolding. Jalen Warren or Roschon Johnson to drop for Jerome Ford. Again, you're doing that.
Yes.
But then the other person should go pick up in your league. The other people in your league should go be looking to pick up Roschon Johnson and Jalen Warren, you know, so they're going to be some players that get dropped in some of these shallower leagues that will be helpful to you. Just keep an eye on it. And then, you know, again, I don't want to put this out there, but some of the other handcuffs that you should be looking at to be aggressive with: Tyjae Spears, that's a one for one. Ty Chandler, I mean, we could see Alexander Mattison falling out of favor, you know, hope not, but that's a situation there. Sean Tucker in Tampa Bay, you know, another one for one, doesn't play the same role, but will maybe do a little bit different things in the run game. You know, not as attractive, but Keontae Ingram. And then again, just looking at situation, Rico Dowdle, you know, just based on what I think he'll be able to do if he is the guy there in Dallas. But again, you're looking at the Dallas running back, you know, so these are guys that you should be putting on the end of your bench. You know, Adam and I were talking about this last night. We were texting about this. Like you got upset with me jokingly that I picked up Jerome Ford going into the weekend, but I did that in almost every league. And I told you, I said in the league that I share with my 11-year-old, we were talking about it and I said, do you want this guy, this guy, or this guy? And we chose Tyjae Spears over Jerome Ford and obviously regret that move, but that's the type of moves that you should be doing. If you have a bench spot that's just is not being used for you.
Yep.
These are the type of how many times have you heard me say this phrase? Lottery tickets. These are the lottery tickets that will help you win your leagues. And it happens every year. You don't always hit on them. But if you do, in this case situation, you're going to maybe win your fantasy league. It sucks because you'd rather have Nick Chubb out there. But, you know, this is now the opportunity for Jerome Ford to help you and help the Browns.
All right. We got to take a break here. Well, let me tell you, though, before we do that, we have a live stream on Thursday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. We have a live stream on Sunday morning, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. We have a live stream on Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. So join us those three nights or morning, you know, Monday night, Thursday night, Sunday morning to help you set your lineups, answer any of your questions. It's all at youtube.com/fantasyfootballtoday. Join our Facebook group. Just search for Fantasy Football Today on Facebook. And sit tight. We have a lot more to get to. Did you know that Jalen Waddle is in the concussion protocol? That one snuck up on us. That Brandon Ayuk might not play this week. So we've got a lot of injuries and we got a busy show today. And there were those two stinkers last night. I'm not even sure if we'll have time to talk about that. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so Nick Chubb out for the year. Barkley, the timetable is about 3 weeks with an ankle sprain. San Francisco on Thursday, then Seattle, then Miami for the Giants in the next 3 weeks. David Montgomery said he's going to need about 2 weeks to heal from his thigh bruise, but his coach, Dan Campbell, said he's in the day-to-day category or something like that. I'm going to guess that you're not expecting Montgomery this week.
No.
Not this week, though, but again, this is why you got to be a little bit cautious with Reynolds. What if it's not week to week, if it's just 1 week?
Jamal Williams left with a hamstring injury, and Kamara will be back in week four. They're at Green Bay this week. Cam Akers seems likely to get traded. So some players, some wide receivers to watch for their availability for this week. DK Metcalf, he did come back, but he's dealing with this ribs injury. Jalen Waddle, concussion protocol. Brandon Ayuk, shoulder injury. Devontae Adams apparently is good. I don't know. Does that mean he cleared the concussion protocol? I don't know.
No. I don't know if he has or not, but the coach said that he's doing okay. So could be one of those situations where he's in the concussion protocol and, you know, he'll clear it in time for the game. We're ranking him this week.
It's one of the stupidest things that I've seen. They're down 18. They pull Josh Jacobs. They take a shot down the field for Devontae Adams that has no bearing on the outcome.
There's triple
no
way coverage, by the way. Triple coverage.
And he just gets blasted.
What else? And his teammate, Jacoby Myers, is trending in the right direction, trying to come back from his concussion. Zay Jones, we don't know about his status. He's got a knee injury. Darnell Mooney thinks he'll be okay with his knee. Odell Beckham's ankle injury is apparently not serious. And Deontay Johnson is on IR, and he's got to miss the next four games. I mean, they didn't even put him on IR so that...
Well, three now.
Oh, really? Because I thought...
No, week two counts toward his IR. Good.
That's why they did it when they did it.
All right.
Right. He'll come back after the bye in week seven.
Okay.
And that's why whenever that situation happens, you do what I did, which apparently caused somebody to get upset in the podcast. Like,
what?
I had Deontay Johnson on the podcast roster. I did it in two leagues where it was eligible. You pick up somebody that's playing Monday night. I did it in two leagues where I could do it. Podcast league was one. I picked up Adam Thielen. Just, he was playing. Who cares? You know?
Yeah, you didn't take a shot, and you're probably going to keep him.
You did it after he was IR eligible.
Right.
You did nothing wrong.
No, I'm not saying I did anything wrong, but it apparently caused some questions.
No. Someone just was wondering, why did you pick up Adam Thielen? Because he had such a bad game, but he ended up in week one. But then, you know. Yes. Quarterbacks. Anthony Richardson's got the concussion. Joe Burrow, we do not know what's going on here. We don't know. His status for week three is uncertain. And, you know, he came back too soon, it seems. Ja'Marr Chase sort of hinted to that. And
remember what Chase said initially?
Yeah.
5 weeks.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe a topic for Wednesday's show, but I don't think I want to, unless it's super low, I don't think I want to buy low on Ja'Marr Chase right now.
Oh, I'd be buying low on Ja'Marr Chase.
Oh, I'd be all over.
To what degree? I mean, like I said, I last week I offered Stephon Diggs for Chase, and it was declined.
That's not really buying low, though.
No.
Well,
that's
now it's not for sure. But, okay, you trade Puka Nacua for him?
In a heartbeat.
Oh, my God, yes.
Would you trade Calvin Ridley for him?
In a heartbeat.
I don't know if I'd do that.
Okay, because that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I don't know if I'd go do that. But
Ridley straight up for him? Yeah, I probably would. But, I'd think about it for a few seconds there.
The frustrating thing about this, and just keep this in mind when you're making your waiver moves, they don't play until Monday. We're not going to get a practice report on them until Thursday. Until Thursday. So you may not know Joe Burrow's status. So just be prepared to get a quarterback.
Yeah. I just wrap on this, but we cannot rule out Joe Burrow going on IR, right?
Correct. That is technically in play.
I mean, it's technically in play for everyone, but it's not completely unlikely for Burrow. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's just vague right now.
I mean, we could say the exact same thing for anybody that got hurt in week two, but didn't suffer, a terrible injury like Nick Chubb. We can't rule out that Saquon is going to go on IR, and the team doesn't have to make a decision until leading up to the game, just like the Steelers did.
Okay. Logan Thomas is an injured tight end. Oh, Lamar Jackson has a hand injury, but does not seem to be a big deal. Is there any more fab you want to talk about? So Ford, we know, is a potential break the bank guy. And how about Zach Moss? What did you say? 20?
Yeah, in that range.
How about Josh Reynolds? How much would you spend of your original budget?
10 to 15.
Yeah, 10 max.
Hunter Henry?
Same, 10 to 15.
Yeah, I'd go a little higher because it's a tight end.
All right, top three at each position. Let's get some names floating out there. Actually, let's do that. We'll do it, yeah. Top three at each position. Jamie, who are the top three quarterbacks to get this week who are rostered in 65% of leagues or fewer?
So it's kind of, I'm a little all over the place with that just because of the super flex and 2 QB league options. But Stafford, I think you got to buy into what he's doing, with the pass attempts. The touchdowns have not been there for him, but as long as he stays healthy, he looks like he may have a great receiving core if Cooper Kupp does return with the way that the other two guys are playing. And he's healthy right now. So he would be the first one to go look at. And I don't think a tremendously difficult matchup against the Bengals on Monday night, although it shouldn't be easy for him. But he's just got to get that second touchdown if he can get it. Gardner Minshew would be second just because you've seen enough of him in his career when he does play. And so if Anthony Richardson is out, I'd look at that in terms of a super flex or 2 QB option, maybe as a replacement for Joe Burrow this week. Sam Howell, I liked him in the preseason. He looked really good against the Broncos, and tough schedule coming up. But, you're seeing just a lot of options for him at play right now in terms of his receiving core. So he would be third. And then I'll put Baker Mayfield there. They're rostered in the same amount of leagues. Baker's balling. No turnovers in the first two games. Mike Evans is playing great. I know the matchup against Philly on paper should be bad. They just lost Avante Maddox, so this could be a big opportunity for a guy like Chris Godwin, their slot corner, being out there. And so, Baker may have an opportunity to still be a decent option. But in terms of Howell and Mayfield, I'd love to know what the amount of leagues are super flex and 2QB because they're only rostered in 35% of our leagues. So I'm going to guess that's the majority of those formats. But if you're in an 8 or 10 team super flex league or 2QB league and those guys are not rostered, please go get them.
I don't think there are that many super flex leagues. We could probably find that out, but yeah. All right. I don't know. This wasn't the most inspiring list of quarterbacks, to be honest.
No, because most of them are rostered, So like for example, in terms of Stafford and Howell, who are, and at this point really even Baker, like Derek Carr and Kenny Pickett are rostered in many more leagues than those guys.
Not for
I'd
long.
Rather have Stafford and those two quarterbacks in particular on my bench. If I'm just looking to stash a quarterback on my bench than those two.
Okay. Running backs, Dave.
And then I'm sorry, one more, just Jake Browning, just in case. I know we're not expecting him to be Joe Burrow, but he still has those weapons. And so, can he get you 18 points per game? That's not a horrible place to be if you're stuck.
Okay. I mean, this is basically the waiver wire segment, but I can't make the case because of the matchups. But Mac Jones, his next two matchups are the Jets. His next three matchups are horrible. Jets, Cowboys, Saints, so you can forget it. But there's some encouraging stuff out of New England, at least just their pace, sure, the amount of times they're throwing, but forget it. All right, Dave, who are the top three running backs? It might be obvious, but go for it.
It's Jerome Ford, it's Zach Moss, and it's Justice Hill. Each of them is available in at least 40% of CBS Sports League, so they're out there. I don't know if there's really much else to say.
That's fine. Dave, I'll go back to you. Who are the top three wide receivers?
My top wide receiver is Treylon Burks because I'm thinking rest of season. He's available in 45% of leagues. Josh Reynolds is behind him. He's available in 79% of leagues. That's going to change. He's going to be rostered everywhere. Tutu Atwell would be behind him. That's my top three. Burks, Reynolds, Atwell. Burks, Reynolds.
Yes. So wait, let's talk about this Treylon Burks thing here. Why is this a rest of season player? You're just having some trouble trusting DeAndre Hopkins with the injury? And
there's a little bit of that. And there we saw what Burks could do on that deep throw from Tannehill. I thought Tannehill looked a lot better in week two than he did in week one. And it's a long-term upside play. I think if you need a receiver in week three to start, I'd feel better about Reynolds than Burks. But I'm thinking the rest of the way, and I think Burks will have some big games.
Jamie, the top tight ends?
Hunter Henry, you mentioned, you know, two touchdowns in the first two games, 13 targets, and, you know, playing very well in this Bill O'Brien offense. And Mac Jones is clearly relying on him enough that you can trust him as a potential top five tight end, but certainly as a top 10 tight end for the foreseeable future. Jake Ferguson, again, we've talked about this for several weeks now, 7 targets in week one. I'd love to see what this offense just as a whole will look like in a competitive game after beating their first two opponents out of New York, 70 to 10, excuse me. Well, so I think Ferguson
will
have
some. That's not going to happen this week, Jamie.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right?
Against Arizona. It's
not exactly the most appealing situation. And then, look, give Zach Ertz some credit. You know, 6 catches each of the first two games. More of a PPR play than anything else because he's not doing much with it. But you're seeing the targets there, and it's hard to overlook 18 targets in 2 weeks. So, you know, as poorly as the Cardinals' offense is, Zach Ertz has become a go-to guy for Josh Dobbs.
Would you move Taysom Hill ahead of Ertz if it's a non-PPR league?
Oh, yeah.
Ferguson, yeah. Too?
Probably so. Yeah. I mean, Taysom Hill is a borderline, you know, again, depends on the platform you're using because a lot of leagues have moved him to quarterback only. So just keep that in mind. But for us as a tight end, yes, I think Taysom Hill, as long as they don't bring in somebody else, has top 12 upside in non-PPR.
And you, even when Kamara comes back, you're saying just for week 3?
No,
this is for week 3. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Hunter Henry because this is, you know, it's impressive stuff. And like I said, with Mac Jones, I mean, Hunter Henry has the same matchups, Jets, Cowboys, Saints. I don't know that the Jets and the Cowboys are so amazing against tight ends, but these are good defenses. The Saints are amazing against tight ends. But Henry, 61% rostered and 2 good games so far. But do we buy into it? I mean, how much are you guys buying it with Henry?
Oh, I'm buying it. I mean, you know, it's not like this guy doesn't have a pedigree. You know, he's been a pretty good fantasy tight end throughout his career when he's gotten opportunities and I'll say quality quarterback play. I don't know if this qualifies yet, but it's looking much better. You know, the concern going into the year for me at least was, okay, this is a guy, Mike Gesicki, that Bill O'Brien has a history with and was someone that they, you know, were moderately attracted to bring in as a quality playmaker for them. And you heard some good things in the offseason minicamp. Then he got hurt. But Henry's the better player. And, you know, I think you're seeing it right now. So I don't have a problem chasing the first 2 weeks of production because of what this offense has done for tight ends, what Mac Jones, I think, will do for him. And look, you had one big week for Kendrick Bourne. He got a lot of targets in week two also. You know, you don't get fantasy points for air yards, and he ran a lot of them. Devontae Parker, you know, stepped up in week two, but he was a disappearing – he didn't play in week one. Juju's been a disappearing act for the majority of the first two games. So this has been a constant, you know, so – you're averaging 6.5 targets. You're getting 6 catches. You're getting, you know, he's 10.5 PPR points without the touchdowns. You know, so that's a good place to be right now.
Yeah. And his touchdown shouldn't have counted, by the way, but we're not going to hold that against Hunter Henry.
Why not? Why not?
Yeah, there was an ineligible man downfield. Collinsworth was like, there should have been 2 penalties on this play or something like that. But
nice Collinsworth impersonation.
Yeah. I thank you. They say I do a good Collinsworth. I'm going to do the
next.
Here
you go.
All right, Dave, give me some DSTs. I'm Chris Collinsworth.
I would defer to Jamie. I'm not prepared for
Jamie. DSTs. Give me some DSTs.
Oh, my God. You sound like a farmer.
Nah, that's not a real impression.
The Chiefs are my favorite one just because we've seen Justin Fields look awful. Yeah. The Titans, you know, again, just looking at how they will defend the run of Deshaun Watson looks awful. The Seahawks get the Panthers and that inept offense right now, and then the Dolphins against the Broncos because I think – Denver going on the road after 2 straight home games, Miami coming back for their first home game. I think the weather is going to be impactful here. It's going to be hot and muggy. So Denver could struggle. Russell Wilson could struggle. And I wasn't impressed with the way the Broncos looked in the second half of that game.
Kickers, Jamie?
Brandon Aubrey should be rostered regardless of matchup at this point. Yeah. You know, he's 50% on our site. Dustin Hopkins, I think that'll be a field goal game for the Browns. Brandon McManus against Houston, and then Jason Saunders against the Broncos.
Can I ask about a couple of DSTs and where you've got them, Jamie?
Sure.
The Titans and the Raiders.
Titans are top 12. Raiders are just outside that, so they're in the top 15, but I like the other four better.
I love those teams this week because the Titans are taking on the Browns. Raiders are taking on the Steelers. They just beat the hell out of each other on Monday night. And those two teams should be fresh and ready to go in week three.
I think it depends on your scoring too, because as we saw last night, the Steelers defense could look awful and still create some turnovers and score touchdowns. And that could ruin your point total on the other side.
Oh, right. If you lose points for DSTs through it at a different.
And the Browns had over 400 yards total offense, you know, so it wasn't like the Steelers defense was great.
It's been a while since the Steelers have had that.
Jason Saunders, right? You said both there. I'm sure it's Saunders.
Jason Saunders.
Yeah, Saunders. All right, Dave, who's our IDP pickup?
Let's start at defensive line and Harrison Phillips, who's had a lot of tackle volume over the first 2 weeks of the season for Minnesota. I'd buy into that on the D-line. At DB, Dax Hill has been playing great over the first 2 weeks of the season. Double-digit fantasy points if tackles count. Two DBs that are hurt right now. It looks like Amani Hooker's got a chance to play. He was really good in week one. Reed Blankenship in Philadelphia. Part of the reason why the Eagles have been so bad against tight ends is because of Blankenship, and then he got hurt. Hopefully he's available week three against Tampa Bay. And do I have a linebacker in here? I've been impressed with Dennis Gardeck, but he's more of a rusher and not necessarily a tackle getter among the LBs. Maybe Terrell Bernard qualifies in Buffalo as a linebacker that fantasy managers could go and expect target or tackle volume from. 11 tackles week one, 6 in week two with an interception.
I got one. Zach Cunningham for the Eagles. He's replacing N'Kobe Dean. Well, he's a starter anyway, I think. But I think he'll be their leading tackler. Yeah. And he didn't have a ton last week, but the Vikings had nine carries.
Run. Right. So he actually had 8 tackles in a game the Vikings barely ran.
Right. He had 5 solo, but 8 total tackles. So Zach Cunningham actually, I think, is someone I'm going to be looking at. I have some pretty lousy linebackers in our IDP league. Let's talk about guys that don't get a lot of pub on this show, but shallow league guys like the Nico Collins of the world, because I would maybe break my bank for Nico Collins. I'm pretty excited about it. I don't know.
That
about
whole receiving corps.
I wouldn't do that, well. But. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. We talked about it so much on yesterday's show. Please listen to Beyond the Box Score. But Nico Collins is something like 78% rostered.
Yeah.
But would he be the second priority? Let's say Jerome Ford's number one no matter what. But all the other people we've talked about today, would Nico Collins be ahead of them?
Yes.
Okay.
He's awesome.
Who else? Jordan Love. Jordan Love probably not this week against the Saints, but... Are we buying it for basically rest of season?
I mean, look, he scored 6 touchdowns in 2 games without his best receiver. Right. You know, so it's a little erratic, you know, with in terms of, you know, the passes that he's missing on, but there are some throws that he's made that his receivers haven't helped him out too. You know, so, you know, to do what he did last week, I thought was very impressive because not only did not have Watson, he didn't have Aaron Jones. You know, so you could argue maybe his 2 top pass catchers not being there. So, yeah, for sure. You want to, again, going back to whatever your number 2 quarterback situation is. And if you're the Joe Burrow fantasy manager, you might be exploring a trade for Jordan Love was on somebody's bench in a 1 quarterback league. So that's the type of move I think that can help you out long-term.
Saints and then the Lions, the Raiders, a bye, the Broncos and the Vikings. If the Rams defense isn't what they've been the first 2 weeks of the season, he's got them after that. He's a terrific guy to go and try and get.
Rashawn Johnson, Jalen Warren, these guys are available. Oh. Tank Bigsby still available. I mean, they're in like 20 to 25% of leagues.
Bigsby's somebody that might get dropped because he didn't play.
Yeah.
He didn't get any touches in week 2. And this could be a situation where if they're playing with the lead, like we saw in week 1, you know, they might lean on him a little bit.
Oh, Jacoby
and he
Myers
would be one of those guys. I think if something happened to ETN,
yes, of course,
we'd be talking about him like we've talked about Jerome Ford today.
Yes. Yep.
But don't.
So if he gets dropped and you've got ETN, maybe make the room for him.
And you may see also just because of, you know, moves that people have to make, Elijah Mitchell may get dropped. He's rostered.
Oh, you have to. Yep.
And he to me is the lottery ticket.
Yeah, just don't talk about
it. Then it's Jordan Mason.
Don't talk about ETN getting hurt is what I was trying to say earlier. Like, don't even speak that.
I hate
the idea of it.
Okay, fine. ETN wins Publishers Clearinghouse and buys his own island in the Pacific.
Last player was Jacoby Myers. He had such a good week.
That's
one.
A great one too.
75% rostered. And Nico Collins or Jacoby Myers?
Nico, but I'd look for both.
Nico
PPR.
And in the off chance that Davante Adams is out, then Myers would be better than Nico this week.
Are you seeing Nico Collins snap shares? He's playing 50 to 60% of the snaps. It's the strangest thing. We couldn't find any explanation for it, but very weird.
But this is where snap count becomes a little bit irrelevant. Like when they're on the field, they get like.
But that's weird because he's running fewer routes than Tank Dell and then Robert Woods. He's just the number three receiver in terms of involvement. It is really weird, but he's killing it.
Yeah, I don't care.
No, I don't either. Like I said, I mean, I'm super excited, but it is weird. One thing I did care about was Kendrick Bourne, who the Patriots, each of the first 2 weeks, have had one wide receiver play basically every snap. And in week one, it was Bourne. In week two, it was Devontae Parker. And Bourne played about half the snaps, 50 to 60%.
Led them in targets, though.
Did he?
Yes.
All right. Well, but that's still, though. I mean, that's just weird. All right. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will spend a few minutes on last night's games. There were a couple of games last night, and they were both one-score games. And then we'll get into more waiver wire players for you, including the deep league guys. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
New Orleans, 20, and Carolina, 17. Any major fantasy takeaways from this, Dave Richard?
Are you starting to get worried about Miles Sanders yet?
A little bit. I want to give him a little bit of passes because of the game, the opponent last night. But, you know, fumbled in week one, losing passing down work to Chuba Hubbard.
Right. I didn't see, or maybe I did see, how much Chuba played in the fourth quarter.
A lot.
12 of 21 snaps in the fourth quarter when they were trailing.
But they're going to be trailing a lot.
Yeah, exactly. So he might be a sell and get whatever you can. Their schedule coming up at Seattle, Minnesota, Detroit. So it's not that bad of a schedule short term. So I don't know. Maybe he's not a sell high or sell whatever. Maybe you just got to be patient with him. Can't argue with 17 touches. It's just the production's bad. The line's bad. Quarterback's bad. I like the involvement for Thielen. And if they can't run, this is where they go. They're going to go for a short area target like Adam Thielen to rack up catches and less than 10 yards per catch moving forward. So if Thielen is out there in your leagues, and I think he is in a handful, what's his rostership right now? He's at
42%.
Yeah. He's out there in about half of CBS Sports leagues. I'm not prioritizing him over Burks, Reynolds, not even Tutu Atwell, but he's out there. He's someone that could be fairly effective if you just need a bench wide receiver. And you can probably get him for next to nothing in Fab too.
I haven't looked into this, but I feel like Michael Thomas is a superstar in the first half and then completely invisible, right? Both games. It's like I'm sitting there going, oh, God, Olave's not going to have a good game. Michael Thomas is going off. And then at the end of the day, Olave's
that
just fine.
By Olave was ridiculous.
Want me to look it up?
No, that's all right.
I want to look it up.
Miles Sanders, 22 touches in week one, 17 in week two. So if you want to believe in it, the one thing he hasn't done yet is broken off a big run, and that's kind of a staple for him. He's an explosive guy. He has a 13-yard carry. That's his longest carry of the season. So that's what's missing so far. If that comes, things could change for him. What?
Guess how many targets Michael Thomas has in the second half of games this year?
Two.
Correct.
Weird, right? It's like he sets it up for Olave. All right, Pittsburgh 26.
I think the thing with Sanders is he's going to end up being a trap back. They're not going to score very much, and if he's not catching passes, it could be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that that's definitely possible, and you know that he's got an injury history as well.
The only thing I'd say—
Would Thomas get more targets if the Saints were in more competitive games in the second half?
They were competitive.
And in week one, they were competitive too, yeah.
Yeah, they were able to run a decent amount. I bet he gets more than two targets in the second half against Green Bay.
No, I was sorry to say this about Sanders, though, is that he does have seven catches. So he's not the third down back, but he's still getting some catches. So,
but are these dump off catches?
Who cares? I hope they are.
Yeah, but he's not doing anything with them.
It doesn't matter. He's still getting PPR point.
Yeah, he averaged like 1.1, less than 1.1 yards per catch. Well, I guess more than that. He had four yards.
I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he would have had 13.8 points in week one without the fumble. And then last night playing the Saints, which is going to be one of the toughest defenses, I think, across the board, but certainly against the run. So this is a telling week against Seattle, which, you know, a little more suspect against run.
All right, Pittsburgh 26, Cleveland 22. Pittsburgh scored two defensive touchdowns in this game.
Yeah.
They had one big play on offense, George Pickens touchdown. There was a cornerback, number 23. Go watch that replay and tell me what he was doing. It reminded me of me when I used to play tackle football, and I just was afraid to tackle people and just let Pickens go for this long touchdown.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was a great play. But sloppy game, and Cooper was started in only 20% of leagues, understandably, and he had a big game, seven catches for 90 yards on the road. Jamie, what's your big fantasy takeaway from this one?
Kenny Pickett's not good. Matt Canada's worse. Offensive line for Pittsburgh is still a problem, but the encouraging thing was the 10 targets to Pickens, you know, so went from a guy you got to be a little concerned about to somebody that, you know, certainly should be started in three receiver leagues, because at least they're going to give him those chances. There's the chance for the big plays. So other than that, I thought Najee saved himself with the 21-yard run, although it looked like it took him 40 minutes to get from one side of the field to the other.
Oh, my gosh.
Jalen Warren looked good, but, you know, he's still stuck in this timeshare with that team. So we'll see what happens moving forward. And then, you know, the disappointing thing was the lack of production from the other guys. You know, no Freiermuth, no Robinson, no Calvin Austin. So for certainly Freiermuth, but the other two, and if you're looking at, you're hoping for options in deeper leagues, I would move on. You know, I don't think Robinson or Calvin Austin are going to help.
Pickens had the 34.5% target share. That's gorgeous after what happened in week one after Deontay Johnson left. I agree with Jamie. You write him out as a wide receiver. Almost a 60-40 split, not quite, between Najee and Warren. Warren played 11 of 14 snaps on third and fourth down. If you have eyeballs that you know, then you know that Warren looked better than Najee. And now it's going to come down to a coaching decision on whether or not they think Warren can hold up if he's going to take over 60% of the snaps. We'll see. I'm going to keep him on my rosters for at least one more week.
Do you think we should drop Njoku or Freiermuth for Hunter Henry?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, you could. And the problem is that now you're giving Freiermuth a shot to help somebody else out in your league. I may hesitate a little bit with Njoku, especially now that Chubb's out. So I'm going to split the difference. Njoku, Henry, Freiermuth.
I would, I think you have to remember that Deshaun Watson did score 22.7 fantasy points in week one, because he had 45 yards and a touchdown on the ground. But obviously, this guy is struggling at quarterback. He's 99% rostered. I could see him getting dropped. He does have the rushing upside, though, but there's not much to say. I mean, he's just.
It still was also a desperate Steelers team at home.
I don't know that that excuses it. I mean, he's
no. I'm not excusing it at all. But I think what you saw in week one is probably more of the norm. An erratic passer can still save himself with his legs. You know, he just made some bad throws. That's going to be what you're dealing with at this point. You know, he's certainly not the guy we saw in Houston. He was never going to get that back. And everything that we heard in the preseason is unfolding right before our eyes.
Yeah,
that's true. Struggles to make easy throws, trying to do too much, trying to be a hero, holds the ball too long. But again, had no practice time with Amari Cooper this week because he was expected to miss the game. So that was a surprise. And I don't think they're doing enough to get the other guys involved. Njoku, Elijah Moore. You know, he took the shot to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Should have been an interception. You know, so he's just, he is what he is. You know, he's bad.
He threw 9 times at Elijah Moore. So he gave Elijah plenty of chances to do something in the game. The thing that kind of is in the back of my head on Deshaun is the Browns can't say, okay, we're just going to take a lot off his plate now and be more balanced and run the football. There's no guarantee that they'll be great at that without Nick Chubb there. And so it makes me wonder if this team continues to lean into the pass, Watson be damned. And so some matchups coming up that I don't think are terrible. Tennessee, I think, is actually good for him.
Yeah, it's great.
Baltimore is better for him than it is for Jerome Ford. I don't know if I'm starting him in either of these matchups. I'm certainly going to drop him in 10-team leagues if I have another quarterback that I feel good about starting.
Okay, let's look at the waiver wire, the rest of the players we need to talk about here. Start with the quarterbacks. Stafford, we already spoke about. How do you feel about Minshew as let's say, potentially a one-week replacement against the Ravens, who so far have been great against the pass, which is a little surprising given the injuries in the secondary. Mm-hmm. But they faced C.J. Stroud and Joe Burrow, and so far they're giving up the 6 fewest yards per attempt. Gardner Minshew, where do you think you'll have him ranked this week?
Just inside the top 20. But, you know, again, I hope he's not playing because I'd rather see Anthony Richardson out there. He's a wild card. He's always going to be like that. You know, last year, huge game in one start in place of Jalen Hurts, and then a mediocre game. And the mediocre game was against a really good defense in Dallas. So averaged 20 points per game in those two matchups. So that's what he's capable of. I don't think he has a ceiling higher than that. But I like the way that he can always sort of do something a little crazy, and that crazy can end up being something decent. So not a must-start guy in one quarterback league by any stretch, but in a 2QB and super flex league, he should be picked up across the board.
I'd rather don't know
how long the concussion may linger for Richardson.
I missed what you said at the end.
We don't know how long the concussion may linger for Richardson. Like I said, I hope we don't see Minshew at all, but who knows?
There's more long-term upside for Howell and Stafford and probably for Baker Mayfield. So I'd rather go with those guys. To me, he's a one-week replacement in super flex leagues.
Well, it's so funny. A quarterback going into 2-week stretch facing the Eagles and the Saints, I would have no interest in. And then a bye. That's Baker Mayfield. But the Eagles have been so bad. They are allowing the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. I think Bradbury. I saw on the interwebs that Bradbury is coming back this week, but it wasn't.
He's got a shot.
The most reputable source. But I saw that Sirianni said he'd be back. I'm trying to confirm that. But I don't know about Blankenship, as Dave was talking about earlier. And he also said Avante Maddox, their slot corner, is probably out for the year. So that's Mayfield. But then he gets the Saints in a bye week. So if you don't plan on starting Mayfield in week 3, I'm not sure it makes sense to pick him up. I don't think you're going to start him in week 4 at the Saints, and you're certainly not going to start him in his bye week. Any interest in Ryan Tannehill, who had a 23-point game in week 2, and now he gets the Browns?
No.
Okay.
I'd start him over Minshew. Does that sound good?
All right, let's go to the running backs here. You could look to see if Roschon Johnson, Jaylen Warren, Elijah Mitchell, Antonio Gibson, and Tank Bigsby are available. Although I wonder with Gibson, is he more of a drop at this point?
No.
I wouldn't want to drop him.
Why not? He does nothing. Nothing. He has what? He has 9 touches in 2 games. But they've won 2 games. Let's see what happens now against Buffalo and Philadelphia in the next 2 weeks. Let's see what happens. They're not going to be able to run out the clock because I think Brian Robinson had 5 carries in the first half. Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. Something like that in on Sunday. All right, Jerome Ford. How do you guys feel about Jerome Ford? Now, pick him up. Zach Moss is number 2. Matt Breida. I brought up Gary Brightwell if you're desperate. I don't know that anyone's going to look at him. And again, I'm not saying that the same thing is going to happen that happened last year, but in two games without Barkley, or one game where Barkley played 31% of the snaps, Breida had 7 carries and Brightwell had 16 in those two games. Breida had 9 catches and Brightwell had 3. Justice Hill, Tony Jones, Craig Reynolds. I don't know that we need to really... I feel like we covered this. You guys did a good job with that. There are a lot of handcuffs to get. Tajay Spears, Ty Chandler, Sean Tucker, Keontae Ingram.
How about Jaleel McLaughlin? That's a deeper one.
Jaleel Dabble, do you?
Sure. yeah. Huh. If Javonte just doesn't turn on the Jets at some point, I think the Broncos could start giving their undrafted rookie, who's got some speed, more work. And they gave him a short yardage touchdown opportunity and got it in week 2.
And what about Damian Harris? You guys have any interest in him? 50% rostered?
Sure, you can pick him up.
He's 6 points or nothing.
Pretty much. All right, wide receivers. The shallow league guys are Nico Collins, Jacoby Myers. We have not talked about the Chiefs guys. How are you feeling right now, Jamie, about Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore?
I wouldn't mind stashing them. You know, I know I've been sort of all over the place, so I apologize for that. But I think, you know, you saw some signs of life, you know, with Sky Moore, the 70 yards and the touchdown. And then for Kadarius, you know, again, another 5-catch game. He's just not doing much with it. But at some point, there's going to be somebody that emerges from this receiving core. You know, it'd be nice if it was Rajee Rice or, you know, anybody, just really at this point. But these are the two with the most upside. So if you have a roster spot to play with, I wouldn't mind rostering them. Like, I'd roster them over almost all the receivers that we talked about aside from the first two. So it'd be Reynolds, Tutu, and then either the Chiefs guys.
Over Tank Dell.
I'd probably put Tank Dell ahead of them, yeah.
Okay. So if you're looking at players on the waiver wire, the order would be for Jamie, Reynolds, Tutu Atwell, Tank Dell. And by the way, if you can't find Tank Dell, his name is Nathaniel Dell. Texans receiver, and then Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, and then Robert Woods, Jaden Reed. Sorry, I think I'm a day or two away from being done with this cough. Robert Woods, Jaden Reed, Adam Thielen, Treylon Burks, who's actually number one for Dave. That's more of a long-term play. Marvin Mims. Okay, Zay Jones is still out there, but he's hurt. I was going to bring up Hunter Renfro, but it looks like Adams and Myers have a good chance to play this week. But let me ask you guys, how legit do you think Reynolds, Atwell, and Nathaniel Tank Dell are, Dave?
Reynolds is going to be legit until week 7. Double-checking the schedule. That's when Jameson Williams comes back. Will Williams take Reynolds off the field a lot? Will he take target share away? We aren't sure if that's going to happen, but it's a concern. For now, you start him. I think he's flex-worthy, especially in PPR leagues. Atwell, same thing with him, except it's Cooper Kupp. When Cooper Kupp comes back, we've already talked about how we figure that Kupp will be the target leader for the Rams. Nacua will take the targets that Atwell's been getting. And what does that leave for Atwell? Might leave like 5 or 6 targets. You're hoping he has a couple of big splash plays. Dell might have a little bit more staying power in Houston, just because what's Houston doing? They're playing more for the future than trying to win now. They'll tell you that they're trying to win now. They're not winning now.
They better be trying to win now after giving away 2 draft picks.
Right, exactly. Maybe. But they're going to throw a lot, and that's going to be good for Tank Dell, who's got great speed and got a lot of target volume in week 2. Hopefully a sign of things to come.
Okay.
In fact, I would argue that if you're looking long term, you might rather have Dell on your roster than Atwell, and maybe even over Reynolds.
Okay. And tight ends. We've got Sam Laporta in shallower leagues facing the Falcons, who has struggled terribly against tight ends in 2022. Bad in week 1, but solid in week 2 against Luke Musgrave. So Sam Laporta is out there, but he has 5 catches in each of his first 2 games. That's pretty cool. Hunter Henry, 61% rostered. Do you think he should be 80%+ rostered, Hunter Henry?
Yes.
Yes,
he will be.
Jake Ferguson, who had a touchdown last week and should have had a second touchdown, but Dak overthrew him in the end zone. And so he's just an end zone target so far through 2 games. And I didn't mean he is an end zone target. I didn't mean just. That's the only thing he does. Zach Ertz, I mentioned this on Sunday night, but in two games so far. He's been open for a touchdown and open for a huge chunk play, and Josh Dobbs missed him twice. I'm not saying that's the last time that's going to happen, but he's had opportunities. And Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill, who in non-PPR for week three could be someone you want, because he had, I think, 9 carries for 75 yards yesterday. So no Jamal Williams. Drop Tyler Higbee, drop Dalton Schultz, drop Gerald Everett. What about Cole Kmet? Any interest in Cole Kmet at the Chiefs?
Do you want 8 PPR fantasy points?
I would hold him for one more week.
Okay.
He has 9 PPR points and almost 8 if you use decimals. Week 1 and week 2.
Finish with the drop-o-meter. 0 to 10. Zach Charbonnet.
0.
2.
Now, listen, you drop him for Ford.
Yes.
But yeah,
you might drop him for Moss, too.
It's funny. The way to interpret this, it's tough. You know, you say 0. We don't want to drop Zach Charbonnet. There are scenarios where we drop Zach Charbonnet.
All right. That's why he's a 2.
And Antonio Gibson, like you asked before, too.
Right. Fair. But this really should be like, how desperate am I to get this guy off my team? And the higher the number means this guy's, we think he's pretty much trash. Put him on the waiver wire. So we don't feel that way about Charbonnet. How about JSN?
1.
4.
All right, you got the Metcalf injury, so keep that in mind.
That's true.
How about Zay Jones?
Well, 8. We're talking about picking up Zay Jones.
Well, he's in limbo right now. He's had a great game. He's had a terrible game. But he did have a couple of almost touchdowns, I think. He's also injured. So he's in limbo.
No, so that's a guy you can move on from to go and pick up somebody off the waiver wire, because you can probably find a receiver like Zay Jones later on this year. So give him a 7.
Would you rather have Zay Jones or Tutu Atwell?
Atwell.
Atwell, but I'm thinking short term with that roster spot.
Dalton Kincaid.
I would drop him for Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
And I would drop him for Ferguson at this point.
I wouldn't drop him for Ferguson. I'm going to put him at a 5 on the dropometer.
Jahan Dotson.
-1.
0.
Samaje Perine.
0.
He's in that 1-2 range.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
10.
He's like an 8.
Kendrick Bourne.
7.
Okay. All right, folks. The Jerome Ford Show has concluded. Good luck to you, and stay tuned for updates. If they sign Kareem Hunt or something, we'll probably pop on and do an emergency podcast, but we don't think that's going to happen. And I got a lot of stuff to do today, so let's not have that happen. For Dave and Jamie and Thomas, I am Adam. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow with some trade talk here on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.